Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This beautiful day is a gift of God. In fact, every single breath is a gift of God. We come to offer thanks. Again, welcome to worship at West End. We're pleased that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending, we're delighted that you're here, and those of us who are here week in and week out will seek out folks we don't know to shake your hand and greet you and express our hope that you'll make a home here with us. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, come on down and introduce yourselves to us, because we are delighted that you're here. We'd love it if you would become a part of this congregation. And of course, one way to do that is to become a part of what God is already doing in and through this congregation. If you look at your bulletin inserts, you'll find lots of opportunities there. I'll lift up several of those for you. First of all, during our Sunday school hour each Sunday, we have a new connections class that meets in McWhorter Hall. It's specifically for people who may not yet have connected with a class or a small group. It began 2 weeks ago. It will continue for some period of time each month. One of our regular Sunday school classes will be hosting that. It is very visitor and walk-in friendly. And for this month, the Cornerstone class is hosting and leading discussions. So if you don't have a class to connect to, come next Sunday between 9:45, 10:45, something like that. Go down to McWhorter Hall and join that class. See if it might not be just the place for you. Also, our piano recital in conjunction with Martin Methodist College that had to be canceled several weeks ago will take place this afternoon at 4:30 in Reed Hall, and there will be a reception following. So I know many of you have already changed that on your calendar. You're ready to come to that. But if you didn't know, you may want to go ahead and plan for that this afternoon in Reed Hall at 4:30. Also, you will see in your small insert the Reconciliation Christmas Party. It may seem a little early to start planning for this, but it's never too early. We'll be hosting the families of folks who have family members incarcerated. We've done this for a number of years. If you'd like to take part in this, all the instructions are here. Also, this is our Covenant of Giving Sunday. Some of you have brought your pledge cards with you. If you didn't, there are some in the pews. There will be a time just before the closing hymn that we'll invite folks to come down and place your pledge card along the chancel rail. But if you've already pledged, or if you pledged online, or if you're not quite sure yet, please feel free to come down for a time of prayer. This is just a time when you can come and commune with God and open your heart and mind and life to God. And for those of you who are prepared, we are ready to receive your pledges for the coming year. Our annual charge conference will take place on November 29th at 2 p.m., and this is a little different. It'll be at Edgehill United Methodist Church. We will be gathering with several other congregations in this area, and we will each have our charge conferences there. So that's the Sunday after Thanksgiving. I know that may be a tough call, the 29th at 2 p.m. at Edgehill, and you can see that information in the bulletin insert as well. Also, don't forget that the Hurting Part opens next Sunday, the 15th. Silas House is a Kentucky playwright and a wonderful novelist, as well as a playwright. So I hope you'll come and join us in the four-story theater, and that opens next Sunday. Again, you can read more about that in the bulletin insert. When you got up this morning and took your first breath, did you say, "Gift of God"? You stood in the shower and you felt the water wash over you. Did you say, "Gift of God"? You drove down this beautiful day. You saw the trees, the leaves coming down, some still hanging onto their leaves. Did you say, "Gifts of God"? When you sat down and looked down the pew and you saw those faces, did you say, "Gifts of God"? They are, you know, every single thing that we have, every single thing that we are, gift of God. Stick around. We're going to talk some more about that.
Thank you. is my day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
A day to sing, a day to praise, a day to become one in spirit.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
This is my day.
This is God's day. Jesus taught us not to be anxious about our lives or about tomorrow. Are there anxieties that cause us to feel separated from the peace which Christ promises? Let us turn to God in prayer. Jesus, who sat at the table with outcasts and sinners, we confess that we too often our words and actions are not considered. Often we ignore the need, show indifference to the lonely, and reject those who seem different from us. Forgive us, we pray. Empower us to reach out in love and acceptance and generosity. This is the good news in Jesus Christ. God loves us more than we love ourselves. Be assured that God is with us even now, accepting, guiding, and forgiving. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the Scriptures are read and the Word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Epistle to the Hebrews. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, for those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings, for it is well with the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by regulations about food, which have not been benefited those who observed them. We have an altar from which those who officiate in the tent have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest, as it is sacrifice for sin and burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus, who also suffered outside the city gate, in order to sanctify the people by his own blood, let us then go to him outside the camp and bear the abuse he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of the lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls and will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with sighing, for that would be harmful to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you all the more to do this, so that I may be restored to you very soon. Now, may the grace and peace of God, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do his will, working among us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who'd care to come down, you're welcome to do so. You'd feel better bringing a parent or a grandparent or a friend. That's always perfectly all right. When I was a little boy, about the age of some of you, we had television all the way back those many years. Now, it wasn't a color television, so I couldn't see all the colors. It was black and white and shades of gray. But I loved to watch a program called Captain Kangaroo. Oh, boy, it was great. He sang songs and he told stories, and he had friends on there like Mr. Green Jeans, who was a farmer. Well, I remember one story that I first heard on Captain Kangaroo, and it's a story you may actually know, but I'm going to tell it to you again because I love it that much. It's called Stone Soup. It's about some soldiers who were coming back from a long, long war, and as they walked back, they were very hungry. They didn't have anything. They came to a village, and the villagers, seeing that soldiers were coming through and afraid that the soldiers were going to steal what they had, they took the little that they had and hid it. Those who had some potatoes hid the potatoes away where the soldiers couldn't find them. Those who had carrots hid their carrots. Those who had onions hid their onions. A few people had salt, and salt was very valuable back then. They hid their salt. A few people had meat, and not many folks did have meat at that time, but they hid it away. Everything of value they hid. When the soldiers came into town, they asked for help. They said, "We've been walking a long way. We have had nothing to eat. Could you spare us even a little something to eat?" And all the people in the village said, "We barely have enough to feed ourselves. We are so sorry. We don't have anything to give you." "Well," said the soldiers, "since you don't have anything, and we don't have anything, then we're going to teach you something we learned. How to make soup out of stones, out of rocks. Does anybody have a great big kettle that we could put water in?" Well, somebody had a big kettle, so they brought the kettle out, and they started a fire under it. They brought water up from the stream, and they poured water into it. Pretty soon, the water was beginning to bubble. Starting to boil. They said, "Okay, find 3 or 4 really nice round rocks, take them to the stream, wash them off really good, and put them in there, and we will make stone soup." Well, the people thought, "This is great. This is wonderful. You can make soup out of stones. There are plenty of stones. There are not that much food around." So they got the stones, they washed them off, they put them in the pot, and as it was boiling, one of the soldiers said, "You know, what really makes stone soup good is potatoes. If somebody just had a few potatoes we could add." Well, the person who had hidden away their potatoes thought, "Well, you know, if a couple of potatoes would help." So they went and got their potatoes, they cut the potatoes up, and they put it in the soup, put them in the soup. After a while, another soldier said, "You know, what really makes stone soup good is carrots. If anybody just had a few carrots..." Well, the folks who had hidden their carrots brought their carrots out. They cut the carrots up, and they put it in the soup. Soldier said, "Well, you know, onions really add a lot of flavor to the soup. If we just had an onion or two..." So the folks who had hidden their onions brought their onions out and put them in the soup. "Salt. Salt would help." The folks who had hidden the salt brought the salt out. They put a little salt in. "Oh, if we just had some meat..." And the folks who had hidden the meat brought the meat out and put it in there. It was starting to smell really good now, right? And so, pretty soon, it was ready. So the soldier said, "Okay, everybody go get your bowls and go get your spoons, because we're going to have soup made from stones." And everybody brought their bowls, and everybody brought their spoons, and there were some extra bowls they gave to the soldiers. And do you know what? They took a ladle, and they ladled that soup out into all the bowls, and there was more than enough for everyone. All because they shared what they had. Nobody had enough to make it all, but put it all together, they had enough to make this wonderful soup from stones and potatoes and carrots and onions and salt and meat. But We're going to be talking about what Nancy just read. In the passage, it says, let mutual love continue. That's just a fancy way of saying love each other, be kind to each other. And it says share with each other. That's what the soldiers help the people do. They help them to share what they had. And when people share what they have, there's more than enough for everyone, more than enough to go around. And also, she said, don't ever hesitate to welcome strangers, because sometimes in welcoming a stranger, God has sent you an angel. Do you think maybe those soldiers were angels to help the people learn to share again? I don't know. I'm going to be talking a little bit more about this in a minute, and when I do, you'll know what I'm talking about, won't you? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us everything. Not just what we need, but enough for all, if we all share. Thank you for teaching us how to share. Thank you for sending us those messengers, those angels. And most of all, thank you for sending us Jesus, who taught us how to love the way you love. And with your help, we believe we can do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming down. So we're almost to the end of the letter to the Hebrews. And this is kind of a summary of the whole argument of the letter. And it's also a listing of the ways that the people who are receiving the letter can behave if they want to create the kind of community that God intended for them to create all along. Let mutual love continue. Love one another. Jesus said that. Jesus borrowed it from his Jewish tradition. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Don't hesitate to welcome strangers, because in doing so, some have welcomed angels without knowing it. Angels simply being messengers of God. Isn't it interesting the way they phrase it? Because they welcome angels without knowing it, which means they didn't have on white robes, they didn't have wings, they didn't have halos, they didn't look like our stereotypical image of an angel. They didn't look like those little cherubs that we have created, or those angels that we base on the seraphim and the cherubim. No, they looked like ordinary people who happened to be bringing a word from God for us. Just like the soldiers brought a word from God, they didn't come preaching. They just simply coaxed people into doing what they knew they could and should do anyway. They became their angels. Share with one another. Don't hesitate to do good. Keep the vows that you make, those marriage vows. But we also make other vows, don't we? We had a baptism in the first service, and every time we have a baptism, which fortunately is frequent here, we say that we renew our vows to support what God is doing in and through this congregation with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Vows of sharing, basically. In a sense, what the writer here is doing is giving us a summary of what it takes to help create that new city, that city God is bringing down out of heaven that we call the reign of God, the kingdom of God, that we can actually participate in God's dream for this world. And this is how we do it. These are the ways that we participate in God's dream. And this is part of the eternal covenant. Now, a covenant is simply an agreement between two individuals or two groups. And often we see it as a kind of quid pro quo. I'll do this for you if you do that for me. I'll give you this if you give me that. It's a trade-off. And often we see the covenant that God has offered in that same language in those same terms. But I think that's a mistake. I think we need to reframe the idea of covenant when we apply it to God, because you see, God gave us everything and initiated it all before we had any knowledge of it. God is not a deal maker. God did not say, okay, I will create this world if you. God said, let there be light, let there be, let there be, let there be. Because God desired someone with whom to have a relationship. And guess who it is? Us, human beings. So God's covenant is a covenant that gives us everything we are and everything we have. And often we use language about giving that back to God, but I don't think that's quite accurate. What we're required to do in this covenant really is to pass it along, to use those gifts we've been given in order to create the community that God has dreamed that would take place, that would be created on this earth, the reign of God, the kingdom of God. In essence, we are to take all of those potatoes and carrots and onions we've been hiding, that salt and that meat that we've been hiding, and offer it so that that can be used. And when we do that, there's always more than enough. Always more than enough for everyone. So covenant is not simply a tit-for-tat kind of deal, a quid pro quo. It is God giving us all the resources we need to fulfill God's dream and then inviting us into that fulfillment, inviting us into that dream, helping us to live it out so that the kingdom of God may come on earth as it is in heaven. This is the Sunday that we collect pledges. And our leaders, you know, my favorite part of that text is where it says, obey your leaders and submit to them. I like that. Never had it happen, but I like the idea. I don't think it means that leaders are to be dictators. I really don't. I do think it means that leaders are to be like those soldiers in the story who come and show us how to share. And sometimes we need to be coaxed, don't we? Last year during our legacy campaign and faithful giving campaign, I know I talked way more about money than I ever wanted to, and I'm sure I talked more about it than you ever wanted me to. But we are already seeing the effects of that in this building. And we'll continue to see those over the months to come, because God has given us a place to gather, to learn, to worship, to breathe in the presence of God so that then we can go out to serve. That's the respiration of the church. We breathe in to worship and learn. We breathe out to go and serve. We breathe in to worship and learn. We breathe out to go and serve. It's a living body, and it is the body of Christ. And leaders are here not to make people submit, but to offer the example, like the soldiers did, of how when we do pool our resources, when we do all share, there is always more than we need, more than enough for all. This year, our leaders are asking that we, if we can, increase our pledge 10%. If you don't pledge, just pledge. If you already pledge, increase it 10%. Maybe you can do that, maybe you can't. Maybe you can increase it more. Guess what? Nobody's going to kick you out if you don't. God's not going to get you if you don't. I often wish sometimes, no, I don't really, but it would be interesting to try a theology where if you don't do what I say, you're going to hell, but I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a second. It can be a great motivator, but it's terrible theology. What it will do is give you an opportunity to take part in creating God's dream and what God is doing in this world, which is even more exciting, isn't it? And so whatever you choose to do, just before our closing hymn, there will be a time when we're going to invite you to come down for prayer, to bring your pledge card. If you have your pledge card ready, place it on the chancel rail. It'll be picked up there. But you may not have it ready. You may not know quite yet what you want to do. You may have already pledged. You may have done so online. You're welcome to come simply for a time of prayer. Your situation in life may mean that your circumstances don't allow you to give much money, but you have skills, you have passions, you know about things that can help the church, and sometimes you will have skills we don't even know we need. You will have a yearning that we don't even know is at our heart too. I know a couple of years ago, some folks came to talk about caring and giving respite for those who are caring for folks with Alzheimer's. We call it Sunny Day. We didn't even know we needed that. But they had that gift and they had that passion. And they were willing to give their time to offer respite to caregivers. Being a part of God's dream in the world. So when we invite you down, you're welcome just to come and pray. Perfectly fine. Open your heart, your mind, your lives for God to teach you the gifts you have to share, and then to encourage you to share those, whatever those are. Because you see, we are all in this together, like those villagers. We all have gifts to offer. We all have something to put into this great soup that we call church. I don't know what you have. You don't know what I have, but together, I can pretty much assure you, if we combine all of our gifts, we will have more than enough for all. It seems to me, folks, that is a very high calling to be a part of God's dream in whatever way we can. That invitation is not just to bring a pledge card or just to come and pray. It is to come and be a part of the dream that God is realizing in this world. What a high calling. I hope you'll accept that invitation. We're reminded of our faith in lots of ways, and one of those is through statements of faith, affirmations, creeds. I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal. Let us join together as we remind ourselves who we are and whose we are. We are not alone.
We at West End United Methodist Church welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. Everyone is invited to join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following the service. First-time guests who are worshiping with us are invited to join us for coffee and fellowship. We would love to get to know you. If you're a college student, you are invited to join the student community for lunch and a time of fellowship and faith discussion in room 315. It's also known as the Fireplace Lounge. I invite you to take note of the gray cards in your pew racks. One side of the card can be used to record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff regarding your comment, please make sure to indicate that on the card with your contact information. On the other side of the card, you may indicate any prayer requests, and then this card can be placed in the offering plate as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Please also take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the pew pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you've not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew, please take note of those who are worshiping next to you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our service. This morning we celebrate with Whitney and Ryan Allen on the birth of their daughter Aubrey Reynolds Allen. She was born September 29th, and she's also welcomed by her big sister, Adeline Allen, and we have a rose on the altar for her today. We also have a couple families to offer our sympathy to today. Peaches Blank and her family are mourning the death of her father, Daniel C. Gunter, Jr., who died November 1st in Gastonia, North Carolina. Services were held there on November 3rd. He is survived also by his granddaughter, Riley Ann Bank. Jim and Carol Festmeyer are mourning the death of Jim's mother, Lucille Festmeyer, who died November 1st in Memphis. Services will be held on November 10th at Memorial Park Funeral Home in Memphis. She is survived also by her grandchildren, Anna and Craig Festmeyer. And finally, our sympathy is extended to the family of Jean Riddell, who died on November 7th. Her service will be on Wednesday, November 11th at 2 p.m. here in the sanctuary, preceded by visitation at 1 p.m. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of life, we praise you for your abiding presence from generation to generation, blessing your people, strengthening us to lives of service, empowering us to witness. Hear the prayers we offer on behalf of your creation, for those who mourn a death and those who comfort them, for those who suffer addiction and those who strengthen them, for those who live in fear and run for protection, and for those who offer shelter, for those who endure illness and treatments, and for those who offer your healing touch. And God, we offer to you those whose needs are not spoken, but known only to you. We thank you, God, for hearing these prayers and answering them. Grant us strength as we serve you now on earth, so that we may one day rejoice with all the saints in your kingdom of light. And hear us now as we join together in the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now Joey Click is here to witness his commitment of giving to the church.
Earlier this morning, before the 8:45 service, I was visiting with Nancy Hawthorne, and I said, I've never spoken from the lectern before, and I'm a bit nervous. And she said, hey, no problem whatsoever. It's just like being in the choir. You're up there, you're sitting, you're looking at the people. And I said, okay, different, very different, still different. When the Covenant Discipleship Group or team first asked me to speak on their behalf, I immediately looked at my schedule and saw that I was going to be busy and out of town. So we replied, I would love to do it, which we all say, I would love to do it. However, I'm going to be gone that weekend. And I immediately thought, That's a commitment I don't have to keep because that's a tough one. A week later, I received another email from Reverend Michael, and she says, we've changed the date to November 8th. I'm locked in. And then I immediately thought, wait a minute. I'm thinking about me. I'm not thinking about God and God's gift to me and God's wanting me to do this. So I thought, I'm going to do it. And then I got to thinking about that word covenant, commitment, and they really both mean the same thing, a covenant or a commitment. It's a concentrated and total, basically, dedication to a cause or a person or a group of persons. And that made me think about a story, and I'm kind of like Michael. I like to tell stories. One time there was a pig and there was a chicken, and they were walking down a country road. Beautiful morning like this morning, and they come upon a little diner. Out in front of the diner, there's a sign that says, bacon and eggs, today's special. The chicken stopped and goes, man, I'm a little bit hungry. How about we go in there and we get ourselves some bacon and eggs? Pig looks at me and goes, are you kidding me? That takes just a little bit of commitment on your part. For me, that is total commitment. I think there's no doubt that God's commitment towards us and his covenant towards us and with us is total, as witnessed by the fact that he gave his son here on earth in flesh and blood to feel the things that we feel, to teach us to live, to teach us to give, and more importantly, to teach us to give service above self. And Jesus always did this with a song of love. And then he was committed to a cruel death on a cross. But through his resurrection and our salvation, that song of love didn't die and it lives in our hearts. And we must continue to sing that song of love. John Wesley said that Christian discipleship is giving all you can, not through charity, but stewardship. Here at West End United Methodist Church, whenever we have baptisms or we invite new members into the church, we always renew our covenant and our vow to support the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, so that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's a tough covenant to keep, but it's one that God requires. Sir Winston Churchill said, we make a living by what we give, but we make a life by what we give.
God has been so generous to us. Let us now give as we are all able according to the blessing that God has given to each of us.
As our ushers return to their seats, I'll simply invite you, as you feel led, to come and place your pledge card on the chancel rail. Stay for a time of prayer. If you've already pledged, you're not quite ready, come and have a time of prayer anyway. Offer yourself to God in whatever way God chooses to use you. There'll be quiet music playing, and then when it appears to Andrew that everyone has come who is going to be coming, we'll move directly into our processional hymn. So please, come as you are led. Now go forth in mutual love to welcome the stranger, to share what you have, to offer to God your participation in God's dream for this world, knowing that the God who gave us all that we are and all that we have, Jesus Christ who taught us how to love as God loves, and the Holy Spirit that empowers us to walk in Jesus' way, it will be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace. Thank you.